Are you ready?
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to another edition of another MMA cast at another MMA cast, as I should say. Follow us on Twitter. Tonight, we have a special combo show. And I do apologize to everyone, all of our listeners. Usually we pump out three shows a week. But this week, as we say on this show, sometimes life gets in the way. And it definitely got in the way this week. So we're going to do a special show for everybody. We thought we owed it to you to throw out a quick show. We're going to do a little hashtag smack my picks up for hashtag UFC Long Island. And of course, I'm going to be joined by the star of Smack My Picks Up, the one and only, let's bring him in right now, Marco from Waco, Texas.
Marco from Waco, Rural. When last give us lemons, we make lemonade, brother.
That's what I'm talking about.
And if you give us a...
Right on, right on. Yeah, sometimes life gets in the way. And as I've mentioned many times on this show, we're all very busy and we all have our own lives. And we're not, as we say, Marco, we're not getting paid for this just yet, as Dan Stubb would like to say. So sometimes, as I said, life gets in the way. And, you know, we just couldn't do any shows this week, and we do apologize, but we're going to make up for it tonight, right, Marco?
That's right. And we're not getting paid, but, you know, let's keep dreaming. Let's keep dreaming. Oh, by the way,
that's what I'm talking about.
Last week on the countdown on SiriusXM, they plug our show at the very end. You know, they actually got a live feed of our Smack My Picks from Wednesday, the very beginning. And this week, the countdown is no more. So I guess we killed the countdown with Michael Bisping, dude.
Wow.
I don't know, man.
Wow.
The freaking toe-to-toe with Brian Stan and the countdown with Michael Bisping were not aired this week, so I wonder what's going on. But last week, we got some airtime on SiriusXM for free, so there you go.
Absolutely. No, exactly. That's awesome, and we do appreciate the countdown for doing that for us. That's super cool. Okay, Marco, so let's get down to a little bit of business here. Maybe I should ask you how you're doing tonight before we get into business. How are you doing tonight, Marco?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It is a Friday, chilling like a villain. It's hot as hell in Texas, man, over 100 degrees. So I got the AC blasting.
Wow.
The dog does not want to be outside, so I had to put him on the kennel inside. And the mama and my two kids are with grandma this evening, so I'm chilling by myself here, relaxing.
Oh, a quiet house is always so nice, isn't it?
I know. I love it, brother. I like to have this once in a while. Once in a while, some peace and quiet.
Every now and then, we have to take some peace and quiet. So this is going to be a good talk tonight then, because half of my children are gone as well. So it might be a little bit of an easier night for me. He is spending his night at grandma's house. So let's get into this, Marco. UFC Fight Night, Chris Weidman versus Calvin Gastelum. This, of course, is coming to us live and direct from Long Island, New York. Welcome to it, ladies and gentlemen. We are back in New York. The, shall we say it, Marco? Most incompetent.
Forget about it. Nothing to see here. Forget
okay,
about
never
it.
Mind. All right, so let's get into it. Okay, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to do Smack My Picks Up first. And then we're going to get into a little bit of news and notes, some topics that Marco wanted to get off his chest. So let's get into it, Marco. Let's start with the curtain jerker on the main event. And, of course, if you guys are in Canada, this card will be shown on CTV2. Marco, it's a Fox show for you, right?
Yeah, Big Fox, the big network. So the prelims
yeah,
and the main
Fox,
card
that's what I
Big Fox, yeah. So you got to be very
okay,
aware
the,
that... The prelims are not on Fox Sports 1 this time. They're all on Big Fox. Everything is on Big Fox.
Okay, so if you're in Canada, you will have to change the channel between the prelims and the main event. The prelims, of course, are on TSN 5, and they start at 3 p.m. Eastern, or sorry, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Everything before that starts at 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time, and those are Fight Pass, and there are five of them. As far as the UFCCA.ca website is concerned. Okay, Marco, let's start, as I said, at the curtain jerker. Number four ranked Jimmy Rivera coming at us at 20 wins, one loss, and zero draws against number nine ranked Thomas Almeida. 21 wins, one loss, zero no contests. Marco, let's throw it to you. Well, I mean, this, to me, seems like it's going to be a very, very exciting fight for the curtain jerker.
This is probably the fight of the night. And we got two uber-talented bantamweights here. Remember, Mr. Rivera is basically the guy that retired Uriah Faber, you know, because the next fight he got, you know, against Brad Pickett, it didn't really count. You know, it was set up for Uriah to go and win. But Jimmy Rivera finally put the final stamp on Uriah Faber to realize that, okay, it's not going to be a contender anymore. And Thomas Almeida is offense all the time. Offense. Highlight real knockouts, pulling wins out of his ass. This is going to be a super entertaining fight. I don't know why this fight is not featured probably higher on the card, maybe as a co-main. But it makes sense because it's going to be action-packed to open the main card. Now, when it comes to Jimmy Rivera and Thomas Almeida, I am on the Jimmy Rivera freaking hot train. The guy is so good. He's good at everything, and he's a great striker. Almeida, he's super offensive, and he's super exciting, but he is defensively a little bit lacking. He get touched a lot, even if he wins. You always see he gets into these weird wars and has to come from behind. Because of that lack of a defensive output, I think Rivera is going to be able to rough him out. He's really good at pinning people against the cage, dirty box and make it ugly, and then come out striking. Like I said, I know the Jimmy Rivera hype train. These two guys only got one loss on the record. And I think Rivera keeps just having one loss on his record on his way to contend for the title. Almeida, it's not his time with Rivera. He's going to be okay in the future, but right now it's Rivera's time. I'm going to pick Rivera on a 30-27 unanimous decision.
So decision, Rivera for Marco. All right, I'm just writing these down because people want to know what we pick. And of course, because this is a mom-and-pop shop, sometimes we don't pay attention. Anyways, you know what I'm going to do, Marco? Right now, before I give my pick, I'm going to give the odds. Again, as I say all the time, I am on the UFC.ca website. These are the odds on that site. We have Jimmy Rivera coming in at a minus 190 versus Thomas Almeida at a plus 165. Now, to get into my breakdown, Marco, I tend to agree with you. I think that just because of the age discrepancy, and I know it's only 3 years, but I think Jimmy Rivera just kind of has that slight nudge or slight edge in experience. And I, as you said, I think this is going to be a great test for Thomas Almeida. And we've seen a lot of this. It seems to be a trend on this show lately. We really see a lot of guys being tested. And I think that's a great thing. And I pay tribute to the matchmakers for, you know, throwing these guys out to some killers. You know what I mean? That you got to test these guys to see where they're at. And that having been said, like I said earlier, I'm going to agree with you, Marco. I think that Jimmy Rivera gets this done. I don't know about the whole decision thing, though. I think he's going to get this done in very exciting fashion. Maybe I'm feeling right now, second round KO, Jimmy Rivera.
I would be surprised if that was the case. I mean, remember, Almeida lost to Cody Garbrandt by knockout, so we know his lats can be put out. So, yeah, it does happen. I mean, Rivera is very capable, and he does got the better boxing acumen. So, yeah, but I still pick Rivera by decision. I think Almeida will tough it out, get beat up in the process, but it's still going to be unanimous. But we're kind of sort of the same page.
Okay, so I'm going to put this down. Pro says second round KO Rivera. Okay, so we agree on the winner of the match, but we do not agree about the end of the fight. So it'll be very interesting to see, be very interesting to see how this one turns out. Now, let's move on up to number 12 ranked Patrick Cummings, who Ariel Helwani says has the most glorious mustache in the world, but I beg to differ, against your boy, Weidman's training partner, Gian Vellante. He's coming back at us at number 13. Of course, Patrick Cummings is 9-4-0, and Gian Vellante coming back at us at 15-7-0. And maybe I'll give you guys the odds right now before Marco goes on this fight. We have, I guess it's Vellante as the favorite, but Cummings at plus 147 versus Vellante coming back at us at a minus 172. And just so you guys all know, I was live and direct at Patrick Cummings' last fight at UFC 210 in Buffalo, New York, and I saw some serious grit and heart put on at that fight. And also, I saw these boys at 210, sit down at breakfast, probably three tables away from each other. So, you know, Cummins can, you know, take it. He's game. So this is an interesting fight to me, though, Marco. So let's throw it to you because I have been rambling. What do you got going on here, Cummins versus Vellante?
Man, I've been scratching my my head about this fight. But granted that Pat Cummins, you know, debut against Daniel Cormier, you know, like way to get himself thrown to the wolves. And he has lost to decent fighters. I mean, he hasn't lost to Scruggs. However, I got a problem with Cummins fighting when he strikes. He fights with his chin up too much. And every time he lost, he has lost because he got knocked out. Now, that is Belante's forte, man. Well, Belante got a 90% knockout rate, man. The guy is really good at it. He's basically a kickboxer with a really good sprawl. And he trains with Chris Weidman, for crying out loud. I mean, his counter wrestling is nothing to be laughed at. Now, Belante tends to gas out. That is his thing. He doesn't get jarred on the first or the early second. He'll gas out. And it's kind of sort of tailor-made for freaking Pat Cummins style. Pat wants to get you down. He's by far the better wrestler. I mean, the guy should have been a national champion. He came out second on the NCAA's finals. So the guy's wrestling acumen is, you know, nothing to laugh at. He's a striking suck. I mean, like he's a striker. He still needs a lot of work, but I don't think he's never going to short that up because he's in his mid-30s. You know, he's not going to, you're going to teach him too many new things. But if he gets you down, he's a Pat Cummins fight to lose. Now, that said, I get no confidence on Pat Cummins' freaking chin. None whatsoever. He's very susceptible to uppercuts. And one of the best punches of Vellante's is the uppercut. I've seen Cummins is going to get knocked out. I think he's going to get knocked out in the first round because Vellante is a better striker and because, you know, Cummins either fights with chin up or when he dives down, take it down, he'll dive with his head way down. So I'm going to pick Vellante. Vellante by knockout on the first round.
Well, I think that you make a lot of good points, Marco. And my main concern, I have concerns about both these guys. I'm going to be honest with you. And I know there were, 4 years difference in age. But like you said, the wrestling acumen on Patrick Cummings is greater than Gian Vellante. And I have said this before on this show when Gian is fought that I'm very concerned about his progression. He trains at like three different gyms or four different gyms I just think that he has, loyalty issues. He really wants to be loyal. Of course, coming from Long Island, you want to be loyal to your teams. You want to be loyal to, the people that you train with, etc. So I have concerns, like you said, Marco, not only in John Volante, but in Patrick Cummings as well, with his chin. Because as I said, at 210, we did see him get quite beat up. But I remember seeing him at the Fighter Hotel after the fight card, and he looks pretty terrible. And that's kind of his MO, I guess. He just kind of, like you said, puts his head out there and gets punched in the face. And, just like Volante, I mean, the records are kind of similar. I mean, it's win-loss, but, maybe Cummins has two wins in a row before his last win. And I don't know. They both seem like very, very almost the same fighter, kind of. It's kind of that fighter that let me explain my thoughts here. I have to slow down and explain my thoughts, Marco. I apologize. I seem like these guys are kind of in the same, when you graduate from high school or you graduate from college or you graduate from university, and then the people who come below you tend to overpass you. They seem to overtake you. And I think that these guys are kind of at that level. They're kind of at the level where we may never see them fight again in the UFC. I know, you know what I mean? Like, these are probably fights that are probably make or break for them, or they maybe have a couple more fights in their future, and then they move on. Maybe that's a little bit pessimistic outlook on this fight for me, but I think they're both kind of in the same skill level. And I think that Patrick Cummings does seem to find a way to win these kind of fights. I know Jean Volante I just have questions about his performance. I know he's going to be performing at home, and he might have the hometown advantage. And I know I'm rambling right now, Marco, so let me just get to the point. I'm going to take Patrick Cummings. I'm going to take him. I think it's going to go to the third round. I think we're going to see a slobber knocker here. I think we're going to see a really good fight, like I said, because their skill level is so well matched. And of course, like you said, Volante has been training with your boy Weidman and learning his wrestling game. He's probably going to be able to fend off Cummings for a while, maybe two rounds. And then in the third round, Cummings is just going to take over and maybe TKO third, Patrick Cummings.
But the word that you were looking for, that is the plateau.
plateau, one more time.
The skill level. The word you were looking plateau on their skill level. They plateau. They're not going to get any better. They're going to get any worse. Well, they can always get worse because they're getting older. But they plateau. They're not going to get any better.
Yeah, I did have a long explanation for what I had to say. So let's just recap, Marco. Give me your pick again. I'll give my pick again, and then we'll go from there because I hadn't written it down because I was speaking too much.
Volante by knockout, first round.
Wow, that is solid. KO, first round. And I said I had Cummings.
TKO
third. Yeah, sorry, I was just writing it down. Okay, so let's move on to the co-main event. Man, I don't know if anybody who is not a hardcore fan isn't excited about this main card, except for the main event. I'm kind of wishy-washy. But these three fights, Bermudez versus Elkins, we're moving to Dennis Bermudez, number 10, of course, ranked Dennis Bermudez, against Darren Elkins at number 12. Bermudez, his record is 17 wins, 6 losses, no draws. We have Darren Elkins coming back at us with 23 wins, 5 losses, and no draws. Marco, I am very excited about this fight. I don't know about you. Let's throw to you.
Okay. Another fight that I've been struggling with. This is a very well-matched fight, by the way.
Yes, look, indeed.
Dennis Bermudez famously went on a 7-fight winning streak and did not get a title shot. But ever since that streak, he's been on and off, man. And he famously welcomed back the Korean zombie in his last outing, and he got viciously knocked out by the zombie in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. So, I mean, on the other hand, Darren Elkins is on a tear, man. He's on a 4-5 winning streak. Everything will tell me that Dennis Bermudez is the most talented fighter, and he should win this fight. Yeah. But I got no confidence in him right now, none whatsoever. Darren Elkins is very greedy, and he makes it ugly. And he will drag you into a grind, so he doesn't let you pull your offense on. That is what I think I'm riding with Darren Elkins on this one. It's not going to get pretty. I mean, like I said, in any other planet, like a couple of years ago, I would have picked Dennis Bermudez with my eyes closed. But because of the late one-off history of Bermudez, especially how bad he got knocked out by the Korean zombie, a guy that was off for 2 years on the Korean military before he came back, I can't pick him. So I'm going to think Darren Elkins is going to wrestle fuck the shit out of Dennis Bermudez. It's going to make it ugly. It's going to grind him. He's going to push him on the ground and punish him. And Bermudez is going to get up, and Darren Elkins is going to rinse and repeat for 3 rounds. But I know that 30-27 decision. Not as exciting as the opener, but it's still a good fight, man.
All right, so Marco has Elkins by WrestleFuck in the third by decision. All right. I tend to agree with you here, Marco. I think Elkins is just a surging fighter here. I mean, 4 wins in a row. You know what I mean? Coming up in the ranks, seems like, you know, the younger fighter who has, I don't know if he's the younger fighter, just let me check this real quick. I don't want to say something. Yeah, no, he's the older fighter. Wow, by 3 years. So Bermudez is the younger fighter, but yeah, like you said, Marco, has, you know, much more UFC experience, and of course has, you know, sometimes gotten his ass handed to him. So I need to stop saying you know and in these shows.
You know?
Noted.
Like, you know.
But I think,
you know.
You know?
I have to agree with you, though. I think that I have to go with Elkins. I mean, just because we don't know where Bermudez is right now. And as you had said, you know, Bermudez has been up and down, up and down. I mean, his record, if you look back into it, in his last 4 fights, he's lost, win, win, lost, as you said, against the returning Korean zombie. And of course, Korean zombie is, even though he's had 2 years off, is still probably at the top of the division.
But I share your concern. He is still the Korean zombie, dude. Come on.
Exactly. I share your concerns about Bermudez. And I'm going to take Elkins. I'm going to take him second round TKO.
Very good.
Okay, good. Good. Good.
Good.
Very good.
Sorry, I'm writing it down right now, so I don't have the drop ready.
That's going to fit. I feel some air time for you, so you can write it down. Don't worry about it. I got you, buddy. I got your back.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Marco. So let's let DJ Tony put that goo in there. And then let's move on to the main event. Now, this main event, Marco, to me, is very, very intriguing. We have the number 5, Chris Weidman, the All-American. Sorry, this is the first nickname I've said. Previous champion here at 185. 13-3-0 against the number 8 ranked Kelvin Gastelum, of course, moving up from 170 to 185. And of course, his record is 14-2 with no decisions. I don't believe I gave the odds on Bermudez Elkins, so I'll do that right now. Bermudez coming at us at a minus 200 and Elkins coming back at us at a plus 170. So, Marco, the odds do not agree with us in our decisions, but let's give the odds. Weidman and Gastelum. Weidman, not the favorite in this one, plus 145, and the comeback on Kelvin Gastelum, course, minus 170. So, Marco, let's throw to you. Smack my picks up. Chris Weidman versus Calvin Gastelum, the main event this weekend in Long Island.
Ah, man. Another fight I've been scratching my head on. This one is like one of my heart says and what my head says. Calvin Gastelum is undefeated at middleweight, dude. He won the Ultimate Fighter at a middleweight weight, beating Uriah Hall. And Uriah Hall, for all his fouls, is not scrub. Beat an 18-9 marker, granted, you know, when he missed weight the first time and they forced him to move up. Then, Tim Kennedy, a lot of people say Tim Kennedy is one foot in, one foot out because, you know, he's issues with the UFC and he wanted to go back into active duty. But the fact of the matter is Tim Kennedy is not a scrub. He was ranked number 8 in the world at the time. And then,
and let's just mention. Hang on one quick second. Let's just mention that Tim Kennedy also was preparing for another bout at 205, and then had to gain weight and then recut weight, right, Marco? So that's also a mark on Tim Kennedy.
Yeah, he famously was supposed to welcome back Rashad Evans, and that fight fell off because Rashad got hurt. And of course, we know the whole history, but. That is when Gastelum beat Kennedy, that was the wake-up call for everybody that Gastelum can be somebody to pay attention. Then he goes and that bought Vitor Belfort in Brazil, and he beat him. The Brazilian commission shadiness made that a no contest because Gastelum never failed a USADA test. Well, the USADA test said that Gastelum was good to go. The pre-fight and the post-fight test from USADA cleared him. But the Brazilian commission test say he was high on marijuana. I wonder why they gave him a no contest when he beat Vitor Belfort in Brazil. I wonder. Freaking.
Thank you, dummies.
That's good. So, for all intents and purposes, he beat the bricks out of freaking Vitor Belfort in Brazil. So, he's 4-0 as a middleweight. And, but, all that said, I still have issues with Calvin Gastelum because of discipline issues. He missed weight so many times at welterweight. You know, that Tyron Goodley fight that he was actually the favorite to win, then he missed weight and automatically became the underdog. It comes to mind immediately. Chris Weidman, on the other hand, you know, former champion, the guy that famously knocked out Anderson Silva and then broke his leg. Whether you want to say it was a freak accident, he still put his knee up there to break his leg. Beat the brakes out of Lyoto Machida in a very entertaining fight, a five-rounder, and then demolished Vitor Belfort when Vitor Belfort was just out of being TRT Vitor. So everybody forgets that on that Rockhold fight, Weidman was winning the first round, and then he decided to do a spin and wheel kick out of nowhere and cost him the fight. The Romero fight, it was a split fight. He won the first round. Romero probably won the second, and then that knee from hell. And on the Musashi fight, he was winning the Musashi fight, too. It's like he's a snake beaten when he fights in freaking New York. I think Weidman is still the better athlete. He's a more natural 185er. I mean, the guy could fight at 205 for crying out loud. Weidman is massive. I met the guy. The guy is huge. Gastelum, as good as he has looked on 185, he's a blown-up welterweight. And, well, even though the interim champ, Whitaker, Bobby Knuckles, is also a blown-up welterweight, and he has shown a very...
Bobby Knuckles!
that it's possible for him to probably make a title run. My heart is telling me Chris Weidman. I think he needs it more. He's on his hometown. I mean, he lives like 12 minutes away from Nassau Coliseum. And a little bit doing this with trepidation because I hope that Chris is not fighting not to lose and he's fighting to win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Also, Chris had issues with gas within the fourth and the fifth round sometimes. And we have not seen that from Gastelum. Gastelum has a gas tank that lasts forever. However, I truly believe that Weidman is still the bigger, better athlete. And I think that he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to, we cannot say that Weidman got no heart. He's going to put his heart out to win this fight. completely out of my heart, I'm going to pick the underdog, Chris Weidman, to win by unanimous decision. I don't think he puts Gastelum now in a very close split decision, 48-47. I'm even going to give one judge to Gastelum because I think that is how close this fight is going to be. In a five-rounder, 48-47 split decision to Chris Weidman. A little bit of home cooking for him.
You better not boo me! F*** you!
Oh, that is a shame that you got on this card!
I know, right?
Oh, God damn it, man. There's a shame that we're freaking out. Yeah. Algie's not on this freaking card, but it's okay. Go ahead, man. Make your pick.
The UFC is dropping the ball on that. You know, he definitely, Iaquinta should definitely be on this card. And it's kind of a recurring issue with the UFC / Dana White right now. But let's not talk about that right now. Let's get into this pick. I'm very concerned about Chris Weidman. And I think this is the first topic that we're going to address when we get into Proteus's primetime show after hashtag smack my picks up. Listen, guys, I know that Calvin Gastelum is, we think that he's not, you know, a good 185er, or we think that he's a blown up 170er, but I don't agree. I think he's fighting at a more natural weight, even though Chris Weidman looked very impressive at the weigh-ins, you know, the ceremonial, the fashion show weigh-ins today with his rehydration. I think that Calvin Gastelum is going to be able to get this one done. We've seen that he has good takedown defense. We've seen that he's got very good boxing. And I just don't think that, even though Marco says that he, and again, Chris Weidman has been, you know, fighting the best of the best. I just don't think that, I think the game has surpassed him right now. And that's unfortunate to say, and it's not that I'm trying to be mean. I just think that it happens to guys. You know what I mean? We've discussed this a couple of times on the show. I just think that it happens. You get to a peak, and like Chris Weidman did, and I think, you know, maybe the fame and the fact that he was champ got to his head, and I really do, Marco, and I know this is not, you know, what everybody wants to hear, and I know that the Weidman fans don't want to hear this, but I think that's, it's a fact. I think that the fame and the fortune got to Chris Weidman, and, you know, he's doing quite well. I mean, he's got his own gym, he's, you know, got a number of children. And I think Calvin Gastelum, you know, being the much younger fighter, but definitely in his prime, is going to take this one down. I think I might be leaning towards you when you say that it goes five rounds. But maybe I think I'm going to go with Calvin Gastelum getting, you know, the KO finish in the fourth. You know, pushing Weidman to his limit and Weidman getting a bit tired. And, I'm going to go KO Gastelum in the fourth.
That would be sad, man. That would be so sad.
It would.
Quick side note.
It would, but you know what? It happens. Like I said.
Yeah. You know who Chris Weidman beat in college on the wrestling tournaments? Do you know who he beat?
Yeah, you know, he's got a very impressive record.
Ryan Bader and Phil Davis. And Phil Davis ended up being a national champion. Yeah. So, yeah. The guy's not scrub when it comes to the wrestling department. But, hey, I'm not surprised that you pick up that TKO because it's possible. Especially, I don't like the idea of Chris coming back so quick after what happened with Musashi.
Exactly.
And after what happened with Romero. And we know that... Gastelum can crack. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen what he did to Tim Kennedy. We see what he did to freaking Vitor. I'm not disagreeing with you, but like I said, my head will say Gastelum all day, but I'm going with my heart on this one because I want Chris Weidman to win. He needs the win. I mean, it'll be... What do we do with Chris Weidman if he loses this fight? Go to light heavyweight? It's not going to get any easier.
Hang on.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. Hang on. Let's not talk about that because that's the next topic. So let's just continue on here and let's finish off the UFC fight night from Long Island. Let's go, Marco, let's go into our spotlight fight of the night if we can, because I really want to continue that conversation in Proteus's primetime right after this. So let's go into spotlight fight of the night, Marco. Let's throw to you.
Well, this fight, and I don't know why so long at the prelims, it should be the main event of the prelims, is the LeFleur versus Oliveira fight. LeFleur only loss to Demian Maia. And Demian Maia could not stop this guy. He took what it, like all that could, because yeah. Demian Maia could throw at LeFleur for to beat LeFleur. And even in the loss, LeFleur came out looking really good. Why this fight is so low? It's like the second fight on the televised prelims. I don't know. But that is the fight that you got to keep an eye on. Not for Oliveira, but because of LeFleur. Because I see LeFleur is going to be a player on the welterweight division eventually.
All right. Well, you make good points there. I am going to go with a different fight, obviously, because that's the point of the spotlight fight of the night, that we go with different people. I am going to go with the Lyman Good fight against TJ Who's Your Mama. I think that, you know, I'm very excited about Lyman Good. If anybody has seen him, you know, fight in the past, you know what I'm talking about. Should be a very exciting fight. They're both looking good getting off the bus, if you know what I mean, Marco. So my spotlight fight of the night, Lyman Good versus TJ Who's Your Mama. All right.
Yeah, big
so let's move
big
on.
Big shout out to the, real quick, big shout out to the Vanilla Gorilla. He got like a really cool interview with Ariel on Monday. And the guy is super funny too. You check his Instagram. He's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. I've seen it. Don't worry about it. The Vanilla Gorilla, if you want to follow him, please do. So let's move on to quickly, Marco, and I'm just going to throw a drop in here real quick. Let's throw on a Proteus's Primetime Show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, presented by the AMP Radio Network. This one we'd like to call Proteus's Primetime. I know we said we were doing a combo show, but just in case, Tony wants to split it up. So, Marco, earlier on we were talking about what we do with Chris Weidman, and that's an interesting question, Marco. If Chris Weidman, who is, of course, at number 5 ranked right now in the UFC, by their own rankings, if Chris Weidman loses this fight to, as you said, a blown up 170-pound, previously 170-pound Calvin Gastelum, what do you do with Chris Weidman?
That is the question of the day. That is a $64,000 question. The million-dollar question, whatever. You know, whatever you want to praise that question at, it's a lot of money. I don't know, bro. Like I was telling you before, what do we do with Chris Weidman? I mean, for all intents and purposes, he is done as a middleweight contender because, you know, what are you going to make Chris Weidman a gatekeeper? Is he going to go the route of Johnny Hendricks? Maybe go to 205. I mean, like I said before, Chris Weidman is a huge 185, but he can easily make 205. He walks around 210, 215 when he's off training, so it wouldn't be a bad call for him. And like the bottom part of the light heavyweight division, maybe he will do some work. But then you got the top three, Gustafsson, Cormier, and Jones. And I don't think he will fare well against those guys. Like, I don't think he will fare well with the top three guys in the division on middleweight either. I mean, whatever you want to say about Michael Bisping, the guy is a champion for a reason. He knocked out Luke Rockhold Cole. You know, and then you got Luke Rockhold, and then you got, of course, Bobby Knuckles as an interim champion. You still got Romero.
Bobby Knuckles.
Lurking out there. Bobby Knuckles. Romero and Jacare. I guess we're glad that Musashi ain't there no more. He went to Bellator, but I don't know what to do with Weidman, man. If I was his manager, I would have told him instead of fighting Kelvin Gastelum to take a tuna fight, you know, fight the number 12 ranked middleweight. And under 15 round middleweight, you don't get your confidence back. But that is not the way you can do it with Chris Weidman, because he is a former champion and he demands such a big paycheck you can't put him against Scrubs. You have to put him on these really tough matches. If he goes to light heavyweight, maybe the UFC does him a favor and throw him again like a winnable fight. I mean, and Ali and Latifi, you know, Latifi is fighting he's fighting this week? Oh my God, I don't know. Well, Latifi is fighting soon. And yeah, fighting next week, that's right. And Latifi, he's a ranked light heavyweight, but that is a winnable fight for Chris Weidman. And then, you know, we're back in business again. So probably that would be if Chris Weidman loses this weekend, there is a very good possibility. I mean, sadly, got to admit that maybe a move to light heavyweight would be the best thing to get a new paint coat on his career, because otherwise the only other alternative is for him to retire, because the USC is not going to let him go the way of Bellator. They're not going to release him because, like I said, he's one of his very big name recognition guys. He carries New York, and he's always good for a freaking Fox car. So the option is either light heavyweight or retire if you lose there, Chris.
Yeah, I think that you said it correctly at an earlier show when we did Smack My Picks Up, that you know, the concern is for Chris Weidman in this fight. He is taking on, you know, his third fight in a row with little time in between. And as you had said as I reference again, Smack My Picks Up earlier, you did say that that's you know, a very big concern in this fight. Is Chris Weidman, you know, in the right headspace, quite literally, for this fight? Because Kelvin Gastelum, he might be a smaller fighter, but he does have the skills to get in on your chin, and very, very concerning. As you said, Marco, I don't know whether or not the UFC would let Chris Weidman go. I don't know if they would even move him up to light heavyweight, like you said. It's a very big question. I mean, I wouldn't want to be any of the executives in the UFC. I wouldn't want to be, you know, any of the matchmakers in the UFC having to try and make these decisions. But as we heard on the MMA Roadshow just yesterday, or I guess it came out this morning, you know, with the Contender Series, that we're going to see a lot of cuts. You know what I mean? They're signing new fighters, and they have to let people go. And I just don't know whether or not Chris Weidman is the kind of fighter that you can promote with all the losses. Yes, he killed Anderson Silva, but maybe this is the kind of guy, again, you let go to Bellator. It's a very, very tough conversation, a very tough decision. And if Chris Weidman loses this fight, I do fear for his future, Marco. I do. So let's just pivot quickly, because there was another news story that is breaking this week, some kind of information coming out. And I know that you want to talk about this, Marco. We've heard that Brock Lesnar has re-entered the USADA pool for testing. We've also heard that this is not true from Jeff Novinski, coming out of, again, the MMA Roadshow with John Morgan and, of course, our boy Cold Coffee. Jeff says that he doesn't know anything about it. He says that he plausibly denies the fact that Brock Lesnar is back in the USADA testing pool. But as Cold Coffee said on said podcast, he did have a picture of his buddy, a doctor in Las Vegas, treating your boy Brock Lesnar just before International Fight Week. So, Marco, let's throw to you.
Well, the story keeps developing as we speak, man. Now, Brett Okamoto on the Five Rounds podcast, you know, from ESPN, you know, that is actually, you know, resides in Vegas too. Second, according to his sources, 100% Brock Lesnar is talking about a return. When he signed his deal for UFC 200, he fired a multi-fight deal. Everybody thought it was a one-off, but no, the UFC holds the right for Brock Lesnar. If he wants to come back to fight, he can only fight on the UFC. Now, that is a depending upon getting clearance from the WWE and whether he comes out of retirement and get back on the USADA testing pool. However, what is also well known is that Brock Lesnar is very public that he doesn't want to extend his contract past the next WrestleMania in March. He makes about $2-3 million a year with the WWE for showing up 4 or 5 times a year, and that is a very lucrative freaking contract. But Brock Lesnar on UFC 200 make anything on the neighborhood of $5-10 million on one night. You know, depending on who you want to listen to. You know, after the pay-per-views kick in, it's anything within $5-10 million. If you can make that on one night, let's say Brock Lesnar got 3 fights left on him, just 3. That is a $15 million paycheck at the low end and $30 million on the high end. When it comes to the finances, it makes a lot of sense for Brock to come back to the UFC. And even if he doesn't come back, it's very good leverage for him to get more money from WWE. Now, every single time his contract has come out with the WWE, we have rumblings of Brock Lesnar coming back into MMA. So that is what I take with a grain of salt that this whole thing is actually going to happen. But let's not forget, nobody believed that he was going to come back for UFC 200, and he actually did. So I'm on a wait-and-see spot right now. I truly believe that when he came to Vegas, he did have a sit-down with Dana White and the new owners, because it's to nobody's surprise, the first half of the year has not been a good year for the new regime, WME, IMG, SUFA-owned entity. The profits are down compared to last quarter, so they need some blockbusters by the end of the year. That is why they tried to do the GSP Bisping fight. That is why, they're hoping Conor, after he gets his payday here in August, comes back at the end of the year. And that is what they're probably hoping, that they get Brock Lesnar for the big, probably New Year's or at the latest, February card, to start making us some ground on the big freaking loan they got of $4.6 billion they had to repay. So, like I said, I'm on a wait-and-see approach. I truly believe that discussions have been made, that talking to each other. But until they make it official, I'll take it with a grain of salt. So we'll see.
Yeah, and of course, Brock Lesnar, of course, if he comes out of retirement, has 6 more months of suspension to serve. So I don't know. I mean, if he is entering into the USADA pool, I mean, now would be the time to do it. I also have heard that he's coming up for contract with the WWE as well, and maybe this might just be a negotiating tactic, to say to the WWE, pay me some more money or else I'm going to go back to real fighting and fight in the UFC. Of course, like you said, he's got, what did you say, 4 more fights? He could spread those out. He could spread those out over a number of years and just come back to the UFC and have it as an option. And of course, that's not an original idea that I'm spitting out. I mean, it's just, business. I mean, if you're in business and you're trying to deal with these big entities, whether you're in the business of dealing with the longest running soap opera in human history, or if you're trying to negotiate with an actual fight league, being the UFC. So very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Real quick. Like you said, he has 6 more months left on that suspension. And
exactly.
If he will get into that pool right now, he will be eligible to fight in February. WrestleMania is the next month, so it will be perfect timing
right
to exact leverage. Brock Lesnar is 40 years old, so his window for fighting is also closing. So that is why he has to make a decision now, because at best he got 3 or 4 fights left on his body. Let's not even talk about his contract. I mean, I know heavyweights last a little longer, but he hasn't been the most active of fighters. So if he gets 3 or 4 more fights left in his body, this is the time for him to take him, because the longer he waits, the more difficult it's going to become, because it's not an easy task to get ready for a real fight. You can do all that fake stuff, until age 50. I mean, watch what Bill Goldberg did with Brock Lesnar with Grand Slam. The guy's 52 years old and still wrestling around. Yeah. But when it comes to fighting, man, not everybody is Randy Couture or Dan Henderson. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and of course, we talk about Bill Goldberg, and of course, James Lynch. Shout out to our boy James Lynch on Flow Combat. Did an interview with your buddy Goldberg, and of course, like you said, he's 52. But again, if you're competing in a non-tested kind of entertainment focused business, I do believe that the testing is a little bit more lax there. But like you said, Marco,
we got a wellness program with a 30-day suspension. 30 days. Oh my God!
I think you get 2 weeks, right? I think you get 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. You are talking about testing on the WWE. I get a bridge to sell you, brother.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. So let's move on, because we are swiftly running out of time, and we're probably going to go a little bit over time tonight. Let's not talk any more about Brock Lesnar and his non-on-it supplements. So let's
Brock
move swiftly to
Lesnar!
Let's move swiftly to UFC 215. The main card has been solidified with the championship fight between Demetrius Johnson, of course, facing Ray Borg for the UFC defense of your title. He's going to break Anderson Silva's record if he does win against Ray Borg. Also, Amanda Nunes versus Shevchenko scheduled for this fight, or this fight card. Dos Santos versus Ngannou, Stevens versus Melendez.
I love that.
Yeah. Cejudo versus Reyes. And not to mention, Aleir Latifi, as you mentioned earlier, versus your boy, Tyson Pedro. I mean, dudes, I saw online earlier before we started the show, Marco, that people were complaining in Edmonton about this show. If no injuries happen just in those six fights, y'all should fucking eat your tongue, because that's a great show. Not to mention McMahon is on the card. You know, Evan Smith is on the card. I mean, this card is seeming to be right now, to me, Marco, fantastic.
That is a solid card, dude. First of all, eat your heart out, Edmonton, because, you know, you get the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. Now,
exactly.
A lot of people say that this is the card that Dana White shed on, because, you know, he shed on Demetrius Johnson and the Ray Borg
right.
fight, and then he famously fed on Amanda Nunes. Not so much on Shevchenko. He didn't shed on Shevchenko, but he shed on Amanda Nunes. So the last two, like, champions that freaking Dana White has shed on got put on this card. But, all that said, the card is a solid card. I mean, Ngannou versus Dos Santos, dude, I can't wait. That's going to be freaking awesome. Henry Cejudo there? Come on, man. There is a solid card. It's not going to be a blockbuster. It's probably going to sell anything within 200,000 to 250,000 if they promote it correctly, because, you know, they never promote Demetrius Johnson's fight, and they should put a little bit of push on the guy. I know they're pissed off at him and all that crap, but give me a fucking break. That is a solid card. That is entertaining. A little bit concerned that is the week before the big freaking Canelo versus Triple G fight, because that is a big boxing match, and it's going to be right after, you know, a couple of weeks after the Megmac freaking pay-per-view. So I wonder if it's going to be a Hanover being Santos with these two big boxing pay-per-views. We'll wait and see. As a card, it's a solid card. It's going to be entertaining. I am rooting for freaking Demetrius. I'm not going to give a pick, but, you know, like, it's kind of sort of obvious that we know that the most probable result is that Demetrius is going to break the record. But if the people in Edmonton are cheering on this card, shame on them, because it's solid, it's going to be entertaining, and they're going to be able to witness history. So, Edmonton, come on, man. Come on, dude. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So. Sorry, just thought I'd let that drop first. Listen, I think this is a perfect opportunity for your boy, Lord Dana, to put two people who he shit on in the perfect place for them to be, in his opinion. Listen, if you're going to shit on two of your champions, and I talked with I talked to Danny Austin about this on Proteus's primetime show last week, I believe. This is just, how are you going to promote this card? Like you just said, Marco, like, you shit on two of your champions. Not only a guy who's going to break a record, but, you know, the person who retired, not only Ronda Rousey, but Miesha Tate. I don't know how you're going to do that.
Technically, it was Raquel Pennington, but yeah, I feel you.
Okay, fair enough. If you want to get into technicalities, you're right. But listen, it just seems like a wasted opportunity to sell something that, like you said, it's going to go up not only against Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, but it's going to be sandwiched in between Triple G versus Canelo. So either you're giving up on that card, or I don't know. Again. I talked about this with Danny Austin, and I don't really understand, and neither does he, where the UFC is going with this and why they would not try to promote such a momentous occasion. And, of course, this defense of the title was supposed to be in Seattle, right, Marco? Originally, yeah. We had heard that Demetrius was going to – yeah, exactly. He was going to defend against Borg in Seattle, his hometown. So again, we're seeing that, you know, Dana White, not only does he have a gripe against Ariel, but he's got a gripe against Amanda Nunes and Demetrius Johnson. Not letting Demetrius get the title, not getting the acclaim and the, you know, rock star status in Seattle by defending his title and breaking the record in his hometown. He's now moved it to, you know, two states over, well, two provinces over. And I just don't understand, Marco. I really just don't understand where the UFC is coming from here.
Let's be fair. They moved the Seattle card because I think this came from higher. They wanted to clear the way for McGregor Mayweather. They didn't want nothing to be on their way. That is what it wasn't because they got mad with DJ. It is what it is with DJ.
But very convenient, though, right, Marco? Very convenient.
Yeah, but Mayweather-McGregor was supposed to happen on the September 16th where Canelo and Triple G is happening. Freaking Oscar De La Hoya took that day, took it, and they had to move Mayweather-McGregor to August 26th. When that happened is when they decided, okay, Seattle is not happening. It didn't help for freaking DJ that he got these qualms about not taking the DJ deal at your fight. And then they said, okay, we're going to do away with Seattle because we don't want anything to interfere with the Mayweather-McGregor. I mean, it's a business decision, and I understand that decision. They modified to Edmonton, granted, I don't know why, for the love of God, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot without promoting this fight. They better promote it because, I think we're going to talk in a little while, we just got the numbers for UFC 213. And they were not good, And the next pay-per-view, and I hope that they're going to make up some ground, is the 214 next week with John Cormier. And after that, of course, they're going to get a big pay that we can make with McGregor. I guess they're hoping they're going to make up the ground that they lost during the first quarter on these two pay-per-views so they can take a flop with the Demetrius Johnson fight. But if I was a UFC, I would say that it's a wrong move because you need to start making ground for the last quarter and the last first half of the year and start promoting this fight after Mayweather-McGregor so you can make out some money out of it for the end of the year and end it up with a bang. But that is just me.
Yeah, no, I think that the UFC is, again, we've said this on the show before, Marco, being very short-sighted, trying to make as much money in a short period of time as they can. And I think that, you know, this shows it. I mean, it just, again, with the Mayweather-McGregor whole debacle, they stand to make a great deal of money because, again, Conor McGregor, he's got a boss. I mean, Floyd Mayweather may be an idiot, but it's true. You know, he's still got a boss. Mayweather does not. I don't want to get into that because fuck that shit. Anyways, we were talking about something else before I got too excited, Marco. We were going to go into UFC 213 and, of course, Bellator, the pay-per-view that was with Mitrione and your boy Fedor. And, of course, Wandy versus your boy Chael Sonnen. It fell down on his ass, apparently, as most of us thought it would. What's Bellator thinking with these pay-per-views, Marco? And can they continue, as they said, to move forward with pay-per-views? I don't think they can.
Look, my opinion is that if they do it once or twice a year, it might be viable. But they have to stack the deck. Yeah, the numbers were not the greatest, and I'll be the first one to admit it. You know, according to Dave Meltzer, it was anything between 90,000 and 120,000, and that is, for all intents and purposes, dismal numbers. But if the objective of them is not exactly the pay-per-view numbers, but the spectacle, do it once or twice a year. Don't try to do more than that. Now, they're better off doing temple events in a spike, free TV. Like we got Kimbo Slice versus Zara 5000, Ken Chan, Royce Gracie. They got great ratings. They got great numbers. But why going to go away from that for the pay-per-view model? I don't know, man. I guess it's a Scott Coker vision, a Viacom's vision to do that. But if they want to do it, don't try it more than twice a year. Otherwise, you're going to fall on your face. Keep doing the blockbuster rating killers that you've done before. I think if they would have put it on free TV, this card would have done great. But because it was on pay-per-view,
yeah,
and because it doesn't got the USC number attached to it, not too many people paid attention to it, you know? Now, on the other hand, we got USC 213 that did about 160,000 pay-per-views. That is Demetrius Johnson's numbers, man. And I mean, I don't want to cheer on Demetrius Johnson. I just was talking so good about him, you know, that I need to promote him. But I think a lot of things affected this card. First of all, the fact that Amanda fell off at the last second, you know, a lot of people buy their pay-per-views at the very last minute. Nobody pre-orders pay-per-views, man, because you got the option on your remote that you can buy it, like, immediately, you know, right out of the last second before the pay-per-view start. That's when you actually buy the thing. That's how I do it. It lacked a little bit of star power. I mean, you see 200 for all intents and purposes. You know, they lost John Jones and Cormier, but they still got Anderson Silva, Cormier. They still got Brock Lesnar in there. So you got some name value. The most recognizable name on this card was probably Joel Romero. You know, I mean, no disrespect to the new interim champ, Robert Whittaker, but not too many people know about Bobby Knuckles. People are finding out right now. But, they also lost the Cerrone freaking Lawler fight to next week. I mean, UFC 213, which is what UFC 214? UFC 214 should have been an international fight week, you know? Because I'm telling you, I suspect that if UFC 214 makes less than 500,000 pay-per-views, it's going to be a failure. Anything less, it will be underwhelming. UFC 214 is a stack. It was what UFC 213 wished it was. A lot of things affected it. It is what it is right now. It's one of the lowest five pay-per-views of the history of the UFC. Not the lowest, but one of the lowest, especially on their freaking trademark freaking weeks, international fight week at that they usually go blockbusters with everything. But timing, a little bit of bad luck, and tech kind of shuffled this time, hurt this card. I truly believe that they're going to rebound on the next one because, you know, pay-per-view buyers, the casuals, are more I'm more careful with their budget. And they took a look at 213, it's like, meh. They look at 214, they're exactly getting a big promotional push, by the way. I don't know if you've seen the promos, yeah. But they're fantastic. Yeah, I think that that is where you're going to see the numbers rebound again. So it's not time to press the panic button. I mean, the car was a freaking victim of the circumstances, with the main event falling apart at the very last second. And, of course, the lack of name value, the lack of superstars on the car. For whatever, when I say we're hardcore, so the hardcore, we know all the fighters, that what makes the pay-per-view successful is the presence of superstars. And 213, for all intents and purposes, didn't have any superstars. 214, on the other hand, got plenty of them. So we'll see, brother.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the failure or, you know, the low numbers on 213 were an effect of Amanda Nunes or Nunes or whatever you want to call her falling off. But I think that what we saw was, you know, a fighter really showing, you know, it's or her rights. You know what I mean? Like, you should not have to fight if you're, you know, okay. Let me get my thoughts together again, Marco. I apologize. Medically cleared means something, but it doesn't really mean that you can fight because I don't know about you, Marco, but I've gone into the doctor before to get a doctor's note and faked, you know, injury or a faked illness, and the doctor has cleared me because you know what? It's all subjective. It's all about what you tell that doctor. And of course we've heard, and of course this is not an original thought by me, we've heard of fighters faking, you know, so they can fight. But listen, Amanda Nunes had a lot of things to lose, and I said this previously on previous shows. She had a lot of things to lose, and in the UFC being at this time very cutthroat, you need to stick up for yourself as much as you can, because you know what? Lord Dana will trash you whenever he can, because he is the face of the UFC, and a lot of people, excuse my language, Marco, have Dana White's business down their throat very, very far, and they will just parrot whatever Dana White says. I'm going to get off my soapbox just for a second because I want to talk about Bellator. The Bellator pay-per-view does not surprise me. The fact that the numbers took this long to get out does not surprise me. I said this leading into the Bellator pay-per-view. I did not think that the numbers would be good. I did not think that Bellator should try and charge money. That's not the way you charge money anymore. Even the UFC has to stop doing it. Like you alluded to, Marco, we cannot continue to pay $60, you know, 2 to 3 or 4 times a month. We can just not do this anymore. You need to, as I saw going around on Twitter this week, and of course this is something I have said previously on this show months and months and months ago, pay-per-view is dead. You need to think of something different. You need to either put it into a WWE method and provide everything for a certain price, you know, whether or not you're going to do Dana White's Contender Series on Fight Pass. You need to put everything on Fight Pass. And I said this, you know, a year ago. You need to put everything on Fight Pass, and you need to charge us a certain amount so that we get everything. Because not all the cards are good, right, Marco? And I know that they're trying to rely on this TV money. If you want to rely on the TV money, you need to start sharing it with the fighters. Again, I know that I'm getting on a soapbox here, and I do apologize, but apparently everybody likes when I go fucking crazy. So Marco, I'm going to not go too crazy and just get you to comment and react to what I've said.
See, and I agree with you that I don't think the pay-per-view model is dead, because, you know, enter McGregor Mayweather, they're going to make millions upon millions.
And we all know my feelings on that.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, and I think that 214 is going to do good too. But I think that the structure of the pay-per-view has to be changed. We don't need a pay-per-view each month. I think 6 pay-per-views a year would be perfect. Every 2 months, so you can build some momentum. The rest of the card, put it on Big Fox. Put it on freaking Fox Sports 1. Put it on Fight Pass. Like, give us big events like they did with Pacquiao versus Joe Horn in ESPN. The ratings were killer ratings, man. ESPN killer with a fight. And I think that would be a good model for the UFC right now, and even for Bellator, because Bellator, if they would have put that pay-per-view on free TV, I truly believe they would have done great ratings. I mean, they have done it before with lesser fighters, you know?
Yeah,
I don't think the pay-per-view model is broken, but it needs to be readjusted. And I think that they need to give us, you know, the consumers, a little bit more for free. Like, they are coming out with a new, you know, TV deal. Either Fox Sports is going to pick it up, or ESPN, or is it going to do what a lot of people are rumbling about, and they're going to split it, you know, like they do football, that they're going to give a certain package to Fox and a certain package to ESPN. That will make a lot of sense. Now, it's going to suck that none of that money is going to be seen by the freaking fighters, but that is a story for another day. Now, if that is the case, yes, give us more free content. Give us more big fights on free TV, and I think it's going to be good for the sport. And at the same time, when you get to special events 6 times a year, no more than that, you know, then we got some momentum upon them. We got some good promotion, because guess what you do when you got big events on free TV? You promote your big pay-per-view that is 2 months away. So, you know, I should be a freaking executive in the UFC, but I don't think they want to pay me my freaking, you know, asking price. But what do I know?
I hear you. Listen, I don't really agree with you. I think that digital content, providing things, you know, without a paywall of $70 is the future. You know, as prices for everything increase, you know, prices for gas, prices for food, prices for, you know,
not,
just living.
Not here in America.
Paying your rent, paying your mortgage.
Gas in America
Sorry?
Is super cheap right now, dude. Gas in America is super cheap right now. It's like below $2
in freaking Texas. Next month it'll be right up at $6. Don't you worry. They'll raise that shit up. Don't worry. Because they want to make more money.
Like,
so
I
just think that
super loaded in the United States. Sorry. Go ahead.
The digital platform is in the next. As Lorenzo Fertitta mentioned, the Netflix model is where we need to be, and I don't know why. The Empire seems to want to not listen to Lorenzo Fertitta. I mean, for all my gripes against Lorenzo and the old regime, again, I mean, we've gotten so far past the old regime that you kind of, again, long for those days when, you know, Lorenzo could make those deals. But guess what, guys? Those days are gone. Those days have been run over by a fucking tank, and Lorenzo will never again be able to, you know, be in this business. Well, I guess he's going to be in boxing, because as Dana White's shirt mentioned, they're trying to get into boxing. But that's another, as you said, Marco, another discussion for another day. We are going to try and round this show up right now, Marco, but we have one more thing to mention. On Sunday, we are going to get Tanya Everger on this show. She is going to give us an interview before she fights for the 145-pound belt against the most dangerous woman in the world right now, Chris Cyborg. And I think that's fucking amazing. So I wanted to mention it right now, Marco, and I'll go ahead and let you get some comments in here. What do you think about that? I mean, Tanya Everger, you know, before Media Week, I think that's fucking amazing.
We got triple threat Tanya Everger on another MMA podcast. What's up, muffles? I love it. And just for that reason alone, fuck Chris Cyborg. Fuck Chris Cyborg. I want Tanya Avenger to win. Make it filthy, Tanya. Make it a filthy fight. Make it greedy. Make it grindy and big, Chris. Because now you're one of my girls. Sorry. You come to our show, you're
That's
one of
right.
my girls now. That's right.
Team Marco.
Screw Chris Cyborg. Fuck Chris Cyborg. I'm so happy for this game, brother. I'm so happy. I cannot wait for the interview. You know, she's very entertaining. She's very raw. And I am a big, big fan of Tanya Avenger, brother. I mean, I haven't made it any mystery that I am all about Tanya Avenger. And I think if the MMA gods have any sense of humor, we're going to have a new champion. And it's not going to be named Chris Cyborg. And then we're going to have a big mega fight with Megan Anderson. And the gods are going to be pleased, man.
I mean, if that happens, Marco, we could only be so lucky. Because for the hardcore fan, that's exactly what you want. You know what I mean? You want Tanya Avenger to get what she deserves. And, you know, she's already getting what she deserves being in the UFC and getting this fight. And, of course, if she loses, she's going to get more fights. She's going to get more fights in the UFC, and she's going to be a bigger star. And, you know, F the Empire for not wanting to bring her in. Marco, I'm going to play your music, and then I want you to end the show, do your thing. So after your music, please end the show. Unless you have something more to say about Tanya Avenger being on the show on Sunday, please go.
Real quick about Tanya Avenger. Yeah, it is a shame that she wasn't on the UFC before. We're on a 10-fight winning streak and the Invicta Bantamweight champion. But whatever it takes, man, she even called it. She knew that if she was going to get in, it's going to be in a short notice fight against probably Chris Cyborg. Nothing against Chris Cyborg. You know, I'm fucking around. I haven't been the biggest fan of her, but I've been a big supporter of her lately. And it's going to be an entertaining fight. So looking forward for the freaking show on Sunday. And you go get her, boy. You go get her. Play my music.
Absolutely. Okay. All right, Marco. So I'm going to play you out. And then after the 18 seconds of your music, please end the show properly.
And I have to say it again, Marco from Hueco. Okay, guys, follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Follow Produce at @Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Find us in iTunes, Google Play. Rate and review us because, you know, it helps the show. Thank you guys for listening. You know, we're sorry that we came in late, but better late than never. And with that, I'll meet you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
Thank you, Marco. Have a great night. Enjoy your time alone. All right. Well, that was Marco from Waco closing the show off for us. Right. That's right. Follow us all. And he made it so eloquently. So I'm just going to do this. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to another edition of Amp Radio. We appreciate every single one of you, as Marco said. Again, follow us at Another MMA Cast. Listen, I have a lot of plans. My name is Proteus. Follow me at Proadus. I have a lot of plans for UFC 214. I am going to have an MMA junkie gathering, so to speak, Northern Edition, with our boy Josh from Tiltonburg, and we're going to have a good time, and hopefully those boys are going to allow me to film what we are going to do. I hopefully am going to do, you know, kind of a fight companion with these guys, maybe we can get enough drinks in them for me, or sorry, enough frosty beverages in them that they allow me to do that. So, listen, this Sunday, July the 23rd, we will be interviewing Tonya Evinger before she goes into her title fight against Chris Cyborg. So tune in for that. Pay attention for that. We are very excited about that. Listen, guys, we are, we're just regular guys. We sometimes we can't get all three shows out. Sometimes we just get one show out. But you know what? We want to do it for you guys because you guys are listening, and we thank you very much for listening. I want to give a quick shout out to @RedShiftRebels. That's what I said. @RedShiftRebels. Redshift Rebels. They are from the UK. That is one part of the Hardcore Listing podcast. We are kind of in a swap cast. We're kind of swapping swag. I'm sending him some amp gear. He's sending me some Redshift Rebels gear. And hopefully that will be ready for the live broadcast for 2/14. Guys, I want to thank you very much for listening. We appreciate all of you. #JunkieNation. #AnotherMMAcast. Thank you very much, Marco, for being on the show tonight. Because you know what? We needed to do a show. UFC Long Island is here. There's got a lot of questions. And hopefully they will be resolved. I wish you all very much good times watching the fight. I don't know where I'm watching it yet, so that's that. Thank you, Marco. Thank you, Tony, for editing this. Thank you for Pam for just being fantastic. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, I am also not prepared for this. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fight.
Again, love you all. Thanks for listening.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Sorry, Luke Thomas.